Good morning. My name is Daniel Shear, and I've had the pleasure of serving as your freshman class chaplain this year. Today, I will be teaching on a passage that has become really special to me this semester as I've been preparing for this morning. And so if you guys have your Bibles, would you please open with me to Psalm 27? And as you open, I'm just going to give a layout to how this passage is structured. The first six verses is David's confession of confidence in God. And then you find in verse 7 through 12, his prayer or petition to God. And then the last two verses, verse 13 and 14, are David's sermon to himself based on what he has learned throughout the psalm. And this morning, I only have time to really explain the first four verses. And I want to talk about it in the perspective of verse 14 in his sermon to himself. And so let's read. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And then verse 14 says, wait for the Lord, be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, I say, wait for the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning to learn how to wait on you. Help us to rest in you, to hope in you. And I pray that you would help me as I speak to communicate your word effectively. And so that as the people here leave, may we be a student body who just remembers your word, especially in Psalm 27, and how we can wait on you and submit our situations and our lives to you and gaze upon your beauty. In your name I pray, amen. Our society hates waiting. We are impatient when waiting for our microwavable ramen or our mac and cheese. We are anxious to know how our significant others will respond to our texts. We also pull out our phones while waiting in line at Chick-fil-A or Panda or during commercial breaks of a basketball game or a football game. And so there's no wonder why we also struggle with waiting. But the Bible repeatedly speaks of the essential nature of waiting in regards to our spiritual growth. We will not grow spiritually without learning how to wait, how to depend on God's word, and how to trust in him. And so waiting is not the same as waiting for your ramen or waiting for a response to a text. But waiting on the Lord is obeying God's word. It's an active, daily submission to the word of God. And throughout the Old Testament, we see many examples of waiting. We see Noah, who waited 120 years from the time that he was promised that there would be a flood, and so he started building an ark until the time the flood actually came. We also see Abraham, who was promised to have a son and had to wait 30 years from the time that he actually received his promised son, Isaac. We also have David, who was anointed king and waited 15 years until he actually became king over Israel. And that time of waiting was filled with being chased by Saul, having spears thrown at him on multiple occasions. And so it makes me wonder, like, how are these men able to wait for so long? What was the quality of their waiting? And even for me today, like, what does it actually mean to wait? And it's not like I have to build an ark in preparation for a flood. It's not like I'm waiting for Isaac to be born. It's not like I'm fleeing for my life like David. But each one of these men learned in the most brutal of circumstances what it means to wait on God. What it means to be confident that God holds their future. That God is going to be faithful to his promises to them. And they depended on God's promises. Have you learned to wait on God? Have you learned that God is trustworthy? Does your life demonstrate confidence in God, even if it doesn't seem like anything is happening? Again, we may not be building an ark, but we are spending a lot of time building our educations. We may not be waiting for Isaac to be born, but we may be waiting for that spouse or that future family that we'll be able to have. We may not be fleeing for our lives like David, but maybe there is a fear of failure or anxiety that you just can't seem to shake. So what does it mean to wait? It means submitting our will to God. And so my main idea this morning is that daily submission leads to worshipful waiting. Daily submission leads to worshipful waiting. We worship God as we submit ourselves to him, to his timing, to his protection. And David picks up in the first verse by describing who God is. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Again, David puts God into perspective as his light, his salvation, the stronghold of his life. And so his response then to who God is that he does not have to fear. He is willing to submit himself to God's protection. So David then describes his experience by saying, "One thing have I asked of the Lord." Sorry, verse 2. "When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident." Did you guys catch that? David is unafraid of his enemies. He is unconcerned about his adversaries. Even if an entire army were to encamp against him, he is fully confident in God. "Yet I will be confident." These are not easy or comfortable times for David, but his response is rooted in a confidence of who God is. But I fear that too often, God is not the stronghold in my perspective. When I'm stressing over a big test or a paper, when I'm fearing what people may think of me, or fearing that I'll fail, or even this morning as I've been preparing, like fearing that I won't do well as I speak. But I've had to reevaluate in these different situations who my source of confidence is. Am I confident in myself? Or am I confident in God? Who or what do I run to when I'm overcome by anxiety or overwhelmed by the amount of tasks on my plate? Where do I go for help? When things get hard, where do we go? And I found it easy for myself to go to try to escape, running to the things that bring me comfort. And so for some of us, that may be social media. That may be relationships. It could be work. It could be sports. It could be food. There's many things that we may run to bring us comfort, to help us to escape from our lives and our situations. But the problem is these things will never last. They cannot protect us. They promise goodness for us, but they leave us empty. Only God can protect us. Only God can be our source of true protection. And so David has found this to be true. So he confesses confidence in God. Who is God in your life? Will you confess confidence in Christ? Because confidence leads to worship. It leads to wonder. It leads to a greater appreciation of our God. And David recognizes this, and it leads him into verse 4 by saying, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." What is your one thing? What do you want more than anything? What drives your actions? What captures your attention? What do you spend most of your time thinking about? David's one thing was being captured by the beauty of the Lord. To be with him, to gaze at him, to speak to him, to fellowship, and ultimately to worship him. This is how David waited. This is why David waited, because David realized that God was worth waiting for. And he saw that he wasn't simply waiting for things to happen. We aren't waiting for things to just happen. We are waiting for God, waiting on God while things are happening. God has given us his word, and so we don't have to wonder what he has to say to us and for us and what we are to do. And so again, we don't have to just wait for things to happen. We can wait on God while things are happening. Again, this is not the type of waiting where we're just lazily sitting on our couches until things happen, but this is the type of waiting that Noah demonstrated. When God promised there would be a flood, he built an ark for 120 years. Like, that's crazy. And this is the type of waiting also that Jesus exemplified when he prayed, "If at all possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but yours be done." Jesus' waiting led him to the cross because he was focused on the one thing: to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life, gazing upon God's beauty and inquiring in his temple. But when I look at myself, I realize that there are times when I should be gazing upon God's beauty, when I should be habitually dwelling in his house every day of my life. And as a Bible major, like, I especially should be captured by God's beauty. But there are many mornings when I wake up and I don't really care as I ought to, when God doesn't seem as beautiful to me as he once did. But these are the days when I must learn even more so to see God's beauty, to learn each day to love God, to love to be in God's presence, to worship him, to worship and submit myself to him. Would you gaze at the beauty of God with me? Would we be a people that gaze at God's beauty together, dwelling in his house as long as we live and read his word? When anxiety and stress and doubt grip our hearts, may we be people who wait for the Lord, who are strong, and let our hearts take courage. Waiting and dwelling and gazing upon his beauty. David closes his confession of confidence in verses 5 and 6, and he says, For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. He begins by declaring in verse 1 of who God is. And then verse 4, he's requesting and stating his desires of God to dwell in his house, to gaze on his beauty. But now he closes his confession of confidence, declaring that he will worship God, that he will sing and make melody to the Lord. And so we're gonna actually play a video of Donnie and Mihaela, and they're just gonna give a short story about how God has been faithful in their lives. And as you listen and watch, I hope that you guys would also think about how God has been faithful in your lives. And may you be confident in God that he holds your future because of his previous acts of faithfulness to you.